Welcome back to Finding My Perfect Awkward, and I have waited for this day since the beginning of this podcast. No, Carla Marie and Anthony, how are you?
Hi.
Great, how are you?
I am fantastic. I am living my best cat mom life.
I am so proud that you are a cat mom.
You are an inspiration. I have got to say, you are the definition of cat mom, so I go to you with all of my problems, non-problems, and everything in between.
I recently had someone say to stop using cat mom because it was just as bad as girl boss, which I have a problem with girl boss. And I was like, but cat mom is my identity. I can't.
Well, how would that even? So I get your thing with girl boss.
Right.
100%. Yeah. And we can get into that later. But with cat mom, how would that be? How would that be the same?
I think, you know, cat and lady, dog yeah. Cat lady was like a negative thing. Cause right. Cause you're like a crazy cat lady.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if you're not married by 22, you're going to grow up to be a crazy cat lady.
I'll happily do that. That's fine.
I think that is a negative. That's like, can be taken in a negative way, but I think cat mom is fine.
I think it was basically stop trying to add a qualifier to everything. Like you don't need to say mom. Cat mom, boy mom, girl mom, all those different things.
I think cat mom, because you can't just call yourself a mom. You can't, when you're talking about your cats, you can't be like, oh yeah, my kids.
Why not? They're your fur kids. I don't see the problem.
Yeah.
Because taking care of real kids is totally different, probably.
Oh, probably 100%. But still, they can still be your fur kids.
Yes, but again, you have to put the qualifier in there, right? You can't just call them your. You could call them your fur babies, your fur kids. You can't call them your furs either, because then it sounds like you cut open a cat. Now you're wearing it.
That sounds.
This took a turn. It's been 3 minutes.
Not even.
I think the qualifier for cat mom, cat dad, whatever, dog mom, dog dad. I think those are fine.
Sure.
Sorry, I derailed this. Yeah.
Talking about absolutely about
qualifiers.
Nothing.
It's fine. No, it's absolutely amazing. But I now want to talk about you. So it's going to be even more awkward. No. So I want to know, where are both of you from? Where did you start your radio journey? And then how was the transitioning period? I want to know your story.
Okay. Well, we're both born and raised in New Jersey.
Whoa. Talk about yourself, homie.
Oh my God. I, Carla Marie, am born and raised, or was born and raised in New Jersey. I went to Rutgers University in Jersey, where I started in radio, got to work at the college radio on campus, radio station on campus. I can't even speak. I was the news director there. I did the morning show for 2 days and was like, I don't like waking up early, so I'm not going to do this anymore. That was the beginning of a 10-year morning radio career, which is funny enough. But while I was at Rutgers, I started interning for Z100 in New York and Elvis Duran in the morning show, and I basically never left. They hired me to be the phone producer, and my role just grew in the 6 years that I spent at Elvis's show. And I started a segment called What's Trending. I started doing phone taps. Elvis would bring me in on the air on different topics. And that is when I met Anthony. So, Anthony, would you like to tell your part of the story?
Yes.
Until there?
Okay. I'd like to tell my own story. I'm my own man, and I make my own decisions. All right?
So I
also grew up in Jersey, North Jersey, Ridgewood specifically. And I actually started my radio career while I was still in college. So I switched majors, became a TV and radio broadcasting major at Seton Hall. And my first radio professor happened to, at the time, be a part-time jock on KTU. Mm-hmm. And which is like the hot AC station in New York City. So I remember kind of like having a great connection with that professor. And then he invited the whole class. He was like, if anyone wants to see how this works, how a live radio shift works, I'll be working this Saturday. You can come on by. So I was one of only two or three people that actually took him up on that offer. And he became my radio professor for another class. And at the end of that semester, he told the whole class that there were openings for part-time promotions assistants, like the street team. Right. So I applied for that. Apparently I bombed the interview terribly. And he then vouched for me with the promotions coordinator. Because when you're taught growing up, like, oh, your interview is supposed to be like very professional. Yeah. I wore a suit.
And
I
then
was
you
like,
get to radio.
Yeah,
oh,
I was,
no.
Kind of buttoned up and professional.
I wore a suit for mine too, though.
I wore a dress suit. Yeah.
And I think I was also just trying to be more professional than I was. So I wasn't like letting my personality kind of go through in the interview. But he vouched for me. I got a job in promotions, did the street team for a couple of years, became the promotions coordinator. And then an opportunity opened up with Elvis's show to actually be his personal assistant. And I took that, and the rest is kind of history. I started doing a bunch of stuff with Elvis, became his video producer, then kind of became like the jack of all trades for the show. So if they needed something produced physically in the studio, like if things needed to be moved around or built or whatever, I helped do that. I'd also go out on the street with Greg T, who was like the show's, you know, stunt or jackass person for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And was kind of involved in like all these little things on the show. Also worked for Romeo. At the time, it was Saturday Night Online Live with Romeo. Now it's Most Requested Live. It's on hundreds of stations around America. And then was offered the job here with Carla Marie.
Excuse me, you skipped the whole part.
Yeah.
Was offered the job with Carla Marie. How did we get from A to B? How did we get from there to here?
This is why I'm the storyteller. We started a podcast together in 2014 when like no one was podcasting. And it was called My Day Friday. Still a podcast till this very day. And
about to celebrate 8 years.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, yeah.
Wow. And
crazy. Everyone was like, you're doing a podcast? What is that? What do you mean? We were just uploading it to Elvis's website. Like we weren't, there was nowhere to post it yet. Like that wasn't a thing.
Yeah. iHeartRadio in the way that we see it now didn't even exist. Like it didn't host, it was just replay channels.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Wow. So that's crazy to think about considering how it's like now, like with billions of ways to like, listen.
Podcasts are almost more important than live radio in some aspects now. So we started the podcast, and then like execs at the company were listening to it and we had no idea. And I guess it got to a point with Elvis where he knew that we had outgrown our roles. And it's very hard when you're at the best radio station in America, in the world, and you outgrow the role, but there is no other role for you there. So what do you do? So they had an opportunity. There was an opening in Seattle to launch a new morning show. And they were like, how do you feel about doing the Carla Marie and Anthony show in Seattle? Flew us out here for like a quick interview. And within 3 weeks, we were the new morning show in Seattle. It was like, I'd say within a month, actually, we started the show. And then shortly after that, we moved, and it was crazy.
It's a wild ride.
And then, we did the show out here for 5 years on a few different stations because there were some format flips.
Different stations, different frequencies, different day parts, different brands, all of it within 5 years.
Jeez, okay.
Yeah, and then 2020, we got let go from the morning, our show was canceled. This is the best way to...
Well, not canceled in like canceled. 2022 terms. Not canceled like we were taken off the air.
We weren't woke canceled. We were...
gotcha. The show was canceled.
Yes. So we continued the Carla Marie and Anthony show digitally via Twitch, YouTube, and now most recently have launched the Morning Show podcast, which is essentially your radio morning show without all the commercials and music and stuff like that. It's everything you need to know to start your day. And that's only been a month old at this point. Yeah. And that's our newest project.
But you are killing it on Twitch.
Thank you. We are trying. It's been crazy because that was the thing we did immediately after being let go was 2 days later jumped on Twitch, and that audience has stuck with us and learned a platform for us because the people who watched our show, we did Twitch a bit when we were on the radio, but people had to learn a new platform, and not an easy one to learn at that, just for us, which is crazy. And we have so much support in those people who show up for our show every time we do it. And they're there live early in the morning interacting when they should be working. It's crazy.
No, and Twitch has that radio feel of connection where you build that connection instantly. But it also has that face-to-face at the same exact time. And it has that chat. They get to chat with you while you do your thing.
Yeah.
And it makes building a community so fun.
Yeah.
Like not to say that radio is not fun, but like it's so fun.
Well, it's also, I think the thing that we had to kind of retrain ourselves with when we jumped over to Twitch full time, because while we were still doing radio, we started using Twitch back in 2018 when they put us on nights on one of the stations out here. And the reason we did it originally was our show, our morning show on the radio, was very caller intensive. We learned that from Elvis's show, where the phones would be lit up all morning long. And that's the main part of your show was people interacting with it through the phones. And when they moved us over to nights, we were kind of screwed because once 7 o'clock hit here on the West Coast, everyone was home. No one was listening to the radio. So we had like no interaction with the audience. Mm-hmm. Decided to bring in Twitch to let people kind of interact while they were home. But we were still in radio mode. It was still very much like an auxiliary thing, right? It was just this thing we did on the side. We didn't really pay much attention to it. And when we decided to do Twitch full time, we had to kind of retrain our brains to not think in on-air live radio terms.
Yeah.
Because you can slow down on Twitch. You can have moments where nothing's happening on Twitch. You can have moments where you're just reading the chat and coming up with your response. You don't have to feel like every second needs to be packed with information or music or something.
Right.
Sound effects.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gives you the freedom to, I think that gives you the more freedom to create more content.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that. Yeah. And not to say that like radio doesn't allow you to make content. I love my job and I make content, but it's the video aspect and the chat aspect allow you that time to, okay, we can slow down. Okay. Yes. Let's make more content.
And Kira, you mentioned community. And I think a big part of that is that it's not only host to audience interaction, the audience gets to interact with one another. Mm-hmm. And right. like we've seen people start making friends with people they've met in our Twitch chat. Yeah. So it's that all around, you're hitting every point and it creates, like you become part of someone's life in some aspect.
We used to shout out a bunch of people that would text in our show or have multiple, you know, every show has their callers that kind of repeat. We would have, you know, Chris in Austin from Texas. We would have Claire in Olympia. We had all these people who just heard each other's names. And once we started Twitch, they got to be in the chat room with one another.
That's cool.
And one of my favorite things, especially while we were still in the midst of like the heavy part of this pandemic, was, you know, most Twitch shows, for people who don't know, your first couple minutes, there's really nothing going on. There's usually a countdown clock or something. And I was almost brought to tears at one point because once we got into a rhythm, people were saying good morning to one another in the chat and asking each other how their days were going and all that. And you could tell that, especially with everything when it was still locked down, people needed that community feeling. They needed that point of connection. And they were getting that just through the chat, which made everything worthwhile.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible what social media, the internet, and Twitch in particular can do. Okay, switching gears.
Oh, okay.
It is Women's History Month. Anthony, you are not a woman, but you have women in your life.
I do. Yeah.
Yes. And I want to know, both of you, who is a woman role model in your life personally? And if you want to add celebrity or somebody, like more well known, who's your role models?
Damn.
Well, I have two. Obviously, like my mom is, and it's such an easy answer to say my mom if you had a, you know, a positive
mom figure
in your life.
Yeah.
And I'm super fortunate where my mom was incredible. But from a work standpoint, I always go back to my first ever real boss in radio. And it was, I was on the street team. Her name was Shari Sternbuck. And she was the promotions director at 103.5 KTU New York. And my first, I'd say 4 to 6 months at KTU, I hated her. And not hated her because she was a bad person, but I just felt like she was on my ass for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day a switch flipped and I was like, this woman knows everything she's talking about. And not only that, she's making me better every single day.
Yeah.
And I never really worked with someone in that capacity at that point in my life. I was only 20 years old.
Right.
So everything I'd done was like working for my dad's businesses or, you know, little part-time jobs here and there. But Shari had the best balance of making sure you got your stuff done and did it at a very, very high level, but also trusting you to make decisions, trusting you to say, hey, you know what? You've got nothing left to do today. Just go home. It's fine. Right. You did all your work already. You don't have, I'm not going to micromanage you in that capacity. And she taught me almost everything I needed to know about radio at that point in my life.
I'm interested to hear Anthony's celebrity role model that he looks up to, but I'll let him think about it.
Oh, I have.
You don't have to, but I think Carla Marie wants you to see what your answer is.
All right. Well, I'll probably yaps. I'll think
so. I can sit here and name like 15 women that inspire me and that are role models. Obviously, my mom raising all of us and like working a full-time job. And I had both of my parents my whole life, but I would see my mom do all of it. And now, like, when I have my job, I'm like, how did you do this? And it's something where, like, you don't fully appreciate it until you're that age when, like, you remember your mom raising you and you're like, how? I'm tired. How did you do that? I have no kids. I don't get it. So, obviously, mom. But one of the craziest things for me was when I worked at Elvis' show, I fully understand understood at the time that that was an amazing experience and it's not like that everywhere, but not to that extent that I didn't understand it until when I left. So, I'll explain what I'm talking about. Everyone would always say, oh, women in, you know, women in radio deal with this, deal with that. It's toxic. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Like it never happened at Elvis' show. So when I started working out here in Seattle and I had to kind of like fend for myself and not be in this Elvis bubble, as I like to call it, I was like, oh, crap. This is what everyone's talking about. I don't have this. I don't have a female boss anymore. I don't have other females that I work with who support me as much as I support them. I fully got hit with it all at once. And it was almost worse because I knew it could be better. And I had better at one point. So my first boss in radio, like Anthony, was a female, Sharon Dasser, though. And she was incredible. She would air check me and encourage me and critique me, but never, ever, ever put me down. And I did not get that same support from any male boss as I did from her. So that Sharon Dasser, amazing. And then obviously Danielle Monero, working with someone like her at Elvis' show, is just, I grew up, like, I would say Danielle was my role model before I met her. And now she's my friend. That's what's crazy. So obviously Danielle Monero, but my celebrity role model would be Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, because they are a package in my mind. And I love them both.
Oh, they are.
Yes.
They are very much so a package deal. Yes.
Anthony,
this is the worst way to answer a question. Oh, come on. I don't have, mainly because I don't look up to any celebrities, really.
It's true.
As much as I love The Rock, I don't look up to The Rock for like as my moral compass.
So,
you know,
like there's no, you can't.
There's not one like woman actress or like even like Maya Angelou is a woman in the public eye. Anybody?
No, not really. I only look up to people that I know.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, I'm not like every day waking up like, well, I kind of am like, what's Jennifer Aniston doing today?
None of it matters to me. None of it matters to me.
The Rock is your role model. You can't sit here and tell me he's not.
No, just because he's jacked and I like to work out does not mean he's my role model.
So you don't look up to him. That's interesting. I mean, I understand your point of view because you don't want it. You don't know them. You don't talk to them. You don't know anything about them except for what you see. But at the same time, like, we all have the person that we're like, wish I was more like them based on this of what I've seen. Like
Camila, come on, man.
Camila Selena. Cabello? Is that what you're saying? No, why? Why would I look up to her? Not that there's anything wrong with her.
I guess she's younger than you. I don't know. I'm trying to help you here, man.
There's really no one. And it really goes
that's an interesting
down to
take.
I don't think I have the ability to look up to someone who I don't know personally.
That's fair. I agree.
No, it is. It is entirely fair. And I mean, you don't have to have one.
And I will say this, this could be one of the issues too. I have been so fortunate in my life to have like an embarrassment of riches when it comes to role models.
Yes.
There are so many people professionally and personally in my life who have just been incredible sources of light and energy and knowledge. So I've never had to look outward for any of it.
It's true.
My family and everyone I've met at work.
Yeah.
There's really no one else I need.
Same. I could sit here naming so many more women and men in my life who have been role models. So,
and think about it this way.
Yeah.
Professionally, I got to learn from Elvis Duran. I got to learn from Romeo. Just in those two people. I know it's Women's History Month and we were talking about women at first.
And then we shifted to men. Yeah.
But I've never had to look outward for that.
No, that's fair. Winning our game, Anthony.
Even if you don't have a celebrity or female celebrity, male celebrity, doesn't matter. Even if you don't have a celebrity role model, you have a favorite movie, right? Do you have a favorite movie with a female lead?
Ooh, a favorite movie with a female lead.
Careful.
I don't even understand.
Yeah, I was just saying, how would you answer that question?
Carla Marie, do you have
favorite movie? I mean, it's not that I don't have one. It's like trying to figure out my favorite. Like, I'm maybe like, oh, bring it on. But that's not it. That's clearly
Does Aladdin count? Because, I mean, I would say they're co-leads as Aladdin and Jasmine.
Let's try to stick to a real movie with real people.
Wait, they made a real person.
They did.
Remake.
And she was
adaptation.
She was more badass in that version than she was in the cartoon version.
I would say Captain Marvel.
I didn't even think about that one.
She's the first Avenger.
Legally Blonde.
but that is such a great one. Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
My favorite movies with female leads are Mean Girls and Clueless. And I wouldn't say I look up to either of those.
But you could look, you don't have to look up to Regina.
No, and it doesn't have to be role models. It's you're a good movie with a female lead.
Oh, absolutely. Those two movies. Those are two of my favorite movies of all time. Clueless and Mean Girls. Well, like without a doubt.
Oh, they're iconic. No, yeah. They're classics. Absolutely. Mine is Devil Wears Prada.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Still never seen that.
It is so good, Anthony. Really? Anthony.
I'll check it out.
I know it's like, it's a chick flick for sure, but it's just so rich with so many good things.
Listen, I just told you that my favorite movies are Mean Girls and Clueless. I'm fine with chick flicks. I'm all for it.
True.
I don't know that Mean Girls is a chick flick.
Clueless is.
Clueless definitely is. Clueless. And I like Clueless more than Mean Girls.
What is Mean Girls? I don't think Mean Girls is a chick flick either, but it's like it's just something. It's just a movie. It's a teen comedy.
It's Amy Poehler and Tina Fey being amazing at their jobs.
Yeah. Because
they wrote that together?
Possibly. I don't know.
I may have made that up. Oh my God. Someone's going to attack me. I'm sorry.
We won't go.
Don't edit that part out. That way some trolls can hit up Carla Marie.
Love that for you. Okay, so now I got random questions for y'all.
Okay.
So at the end of the last episode, I did rapid questions with Marie. And instead of doing rapid questions with you, I'm just going to have you both answer three of the main questions, all right? What was your first job ever?
So my first job, and my dad owned a jewelry store like my whole life. So I started working for my dad when I was like 11. The first non-family member job I had was, a family friend of ours owned a restaurant, and I was a busboy there for like a day and a half. That was about it. And then I was told I wasn't good enough.
So my brother was a warehouse manager at one point. So when I was 13 years old, my very, very first job was to sit in a warehouse, open boxes of jeans, take a belt, loop them through the jeans, and put them back in the boxes. And I did that for 3 days, and I was like, I'm never doing this again. And then I would just work with him. He also power washed tractor trailers, so I would power wash at like 13 to 15 years old.
That sounds like you were bored out of your mind.
I used to nap in between washing the trucks. And then eventually I like would work at a bakery and had like normal.
Power washing is so fun though.
No, but I wasn't allowed to hold the machine. I just had to do the brush part.
Oh, that's the annoying part. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so my dad had a detailing business at one point, and I helped with like cleaning the tires because that was just the little like cute brush for the rims. Yeah.
You got those that was fun. Kid.
Yeah, and I just had
little cute.
It was
so. Was that your first like official job? Was working?
I didn't get paid for that, but I did it. Okay. My first official job was selling jerky because I didn't get paid for anything else. It was just like, oh, you're my kid. You're gonna help me. For actual money of any sort, it was selling jerky at a farmer's market, and I would give out samples, but. Me not being good at my job, I would eat the samples instead, you know, about 3/4 of the time. I was terrible at my job.
That's amazing.
It was great. I was 16. My boss was like, you're all out of samples, but you only sold this much. And I was like, yeah, well, I don't like
similarly, I think I was 16. There was a deli literally next door to my parents' house in Ridgewood. And I worked there as well over the summer. And when you're a 16-year-old boy, you can eat like a billion pounds of food in a day. And I remember within the first week of me starting there, the owner of the deli put me on a strict sandwich limit per day. I got one sandwich and one drink per day because originally when he hired me, he's like, whatever you want to eat, just let me know and we'll feed you. Because I was like a stock boy. And I think the first day I worked there, I had 3 chicken parm sandwiches. And he was like, all right, this has to end. You can't have 3 sandwiches in a 6-hour shift. Get out of here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a grown boy. That's crazy. Well,
you guys are stealing food. I used to steal little mini pastries at the bakery and hide them in my apron. That was the beginning of my
I would hardly call me what I did stealing. Oh, wait.
I also didn't steal either. I just
went above the limit they gave me. They were free samples, right? Right. And they told you you could have those, Anthony.
Exactly.
Those are yours.
Carla Marie's a thief. We're fine.
Okay. Can either one of you do an impression of somebody or something?
Man.
It's so funny. We're both so bad at impressions, but I might have my first impression ever.
Go for it. What is it?
Oh, Lord.
I might be able to do Anna Delvey.
From the
Inventing Anna on Netflix, or Anna Sorokin, whatever her real name is. But I have never had to do it on the spot with the microphone on. I'm very nervous. I've never heard it in my own ears.
Okay, so do it.
Why are you so poor? Podcasts are dumb.
So that's it's just talking like that.
It sounds like a Valley Girl impression.
It is, but like, it's not good. I said I'm not good at impressions. I tried.
Yeah,
VIP is better. Cats are better.
So
Anthony, what you got?
It's like Valley with like Russian, but yeah. I can't do accents. I do never try to do accents because the one time I did, everyone made fun of me because I tried to say top of the morning in Irish accent. Anthony's, I've never heard him do an accent.
I'm not really an accent, which is funny because growing up, like my whole family had accents because they're all immigrants from.
Can you do any impression of somebody or like of a thing? Yeah. Like Marie did an elephant. You can do an animal if you can do an animal.
Marie's impression was an elephant?
Oh, go listen to the podcast.
You could do cats?
Yeah, because sometimes Anthony's like, why are they making that noise? And I'm like, it's me. I'm always like, meow.
Okay, that's terrible.
That was really
bad.
That is not a meow. Come over here. If they sound like that, they need to go to the vet.
Oh, you know, okay. So this is going to be, I haven't done this in a very long time. I can actually do a pretty good like growl. So I used to
listen
to like DMX a lot.
I'm very scared. You're gonna scare me.
And DMX as a rapper, like if you listen to DMX in his first couple albums, actually all of them, barks and growls a lot. And I think I was like in sixth grade and fifth grade trying to like be more like DMX. So
you're not going to do this.
He's doing it.
Hold on. I've got to like warm up the vocal cords a little bit before I growl into
them. I feel like that's not going to make it any better, but okay.
All right. Hold on. Off mic for a second.
No, well, yeah, because you don't want to hear it in your own ear. I did it.
Nope, it doesn't like go through a microphone well.
No, there's a lot of.
All right. That's like my best DMX being a dog impression.
No. Okay. Well, we
we're
failed.
Moving on because that ain't I need
that. Edit that out. If that's
no, it's all staying. You.
So your last three impressions were an elephant, a cat, and a dog.
The difference is Marie could actually do it.
Really?
Yes, and you should listen to the podcast episode.
Sorry about that. Yeah, we will.
It's okay.
I just can't believe I growled and barked on the podcast.
Oh, it's staying. It's my favorite thing. And if you could put together a festival, who would be in it?
Oh, it's happening. It's the When We Were Young festival. I feel like that's the easy thing to say, but my festival, if it was called the Carla Marie Festival, it would have Fall Out Boy, Taylor Swift, and Sagala. And if you've never heard of Sagala, it's like a EDM meets Caribbean. Would you describe it?
Oh,
I like my secret favorite artist that I feel like people don't know that I love because I've listened. It's like it was my most played on Spotify last year. I'm obsessed. So yeah, it would be a mix of like Taylor Swift. Well, it would be the most bizarre festival, and the weirdest people would be there. But Taylor Swift, Fall Out Boy, and Sagala.
Yeah, I think mine, if it was like the Anthony Festival, or if it was like the worst festival, that's what we'll have to call it. Well, did your power just get cut off?
No, those are my lights.
Did you pay your bill this month?
Yeah, because this light is still on.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't understand why.
That's
the are LED. They smart lights?
No, they're the ones that you just click on and off.
Like we have.
Do I have a ghost?
Probably.
I might have a ghost.
Maybe your cat turned them off.
I wish that was the thing. I think I have a ghost. Anyway, continue.
So if it was to be called the worst festival, if you will, it would go by decades, right? So I would have a 90s era hip hop.
Okay.
Then in the zeros, I would transition to like the EDM pop punk scene.
Okay.
Or not EDM, sorry, the emo pop punk scene. And okay. Then I'd go for the tens. And I'd have a bunch of like
but
the.
But who am I? I'm not going to buy a ticket to a festival that's we're going to have one person from every decade.
Because
there.
It would be like.
I need to know who it is.
It would be like Jay-Z, Joel Santana, okay. Cameron for like the 90s, late 90s rap.
Okay.
Right? Early 2000s rap, I guess you throw in there. Then for like the pop punk emo phase would be your Michael McGraw Romance, Taken Back Sunday, Brand New.
I like
but
it.
Then I'd throw everyone for a loop because my 2010s would be represented by like.
Hannah Montana.
Well, yeah, basically. Miley Cyrus, Megan and Liz, Cher Lloyd, all those like very poppy girl artists.
Man,
Fifth Harmony. Fifth Harmony, Little Mix. That's
oh, so
what I'd
Fifth
have
Harmony's gonna make a comeback.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're gonna reunion.
The best festival in America.
Wow.
Of course.
Yeah, sounds
so I go, like that question.
Great.
But to go from like Cameron to Fifth Harmony would be a phenomenal festival.
There's going
to
be like 90-year-olds for Cameron.
Yeah.
I just offended people. And then you're going to be like.
Well, Hey Ma, come on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey Ma is a great song.
But would you buy a ticket from a festival just because you liked Hey Ma?
Yes.
No, but with Cameron, everybody else there,
yes.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because then you throw in like Yellow Card, hey you Ma. Throw in Fifth Harmony.
I had three people.
Oh, no. It's a shitty festival if there's only three people.
Listen, you can have whatever you want. It's your fake. Festival. It's named after you. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's never going to happen, so I can do whatever I want. There's going to be a bounce house for adults.
Yes.
It's going to be in. Awesome.
A bounce house for adults?
Yeah, just to play, you know.
Oh my God, we'd all be so sore.
Wow. That's fantastic. Well, this has been fun.
She's like,
has it been?
Get off of my podcast now, you losers.
No, you guys are awesome. And I have waited so long for you guys to be on. And I don't know why it's taken so long, but I finally got to asking you. And thank you so much for saying yes.
Of course. This is a lot of fun.
We're super awkward. So,
hey, then you fit in perfectly. It's fine.
And I do love the name of the podcast, too, because everyone's just trying to find out like the awkward that fits them the best.
Yes.
That's really what it is, because none of us
like
are cool.
Part. Yeah, we're all awkward. We're just not all perfectly awkward.
And if you can just, you know, embrace that and just know we're all going to be awkward forever, then you're going to have a much happier life.
Then are we awkward?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Absolutely.
It's fine. So am I, obviously. I made a brand out of it. It's fine. And where can people find you on socials?
I am at the Carla Murray.
I'm at Worst Anthony on everything.
And together we are Carla Murray and Anthony on almost all social media, YouTube, Twitch, our website, everything.